Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Well, welcome to the Prism of America's Education. And in case you didn't notice, I don't sound much like Karen, but I'm Pastor Rick Stevens. I've been a guest occasionally on Karen's show, and she is traveling. You know, Karen, you've listened to her, and I know you have. She really cares about kids, and she's working very hard to make sure kids have every opportunity to have a good education. And so she's traveling in Florida today, trying to make things better for kids. And I agreed that I would pinch hit for her and try to keep the conversation going. So that's what we're going to do. I'm Pastor Rick Stevens. I'm a pastor of a church in Cape Coral, Florida, Diplomat Wesleyan Church. I'm also one of the co-founders of the Florida Citizens Alliance, and that's my education connection, you might say. The Florida Citizens Alliance has been working to make things better in Florida for children for a number of years now. We really try to come up with solutions. We are not the kind of group that just wants to complain about things. We can recognize problems, and we do need to recognize them, but then we try to bring solutions to the table. And I think there are a lot of groups that are doing that now. In some circles, all you hear is complaints, but we don't want to be those kind of people. We want to say, here's how to push back. Here's how to make it better. If you want to know more about the Florida Citizens Alliance, you can go to our website. It's simple, goflca.com, and you can learn about us there. We also have another website, libertyscholar.org, libertyscholar.org. And that's designed for parents and people who are looking for alternatives, and you can find a lot of helpful things. Yes, some of, in fact, much of what you'll find on our websites is Florida-centered because we work exclusively in Florida. But the principles that are involved and the ideas that are there, I think will benefit people from most any place. So that's how you can find out about us. But enough about a substitute, enough about a pinch hitter. We have a heavy hitter with us today, and I know a lot of you are familiar with Alex Newman, and he has a lot of credentials. He's done a lot of good things. But I was thinking about that, Alex, and really what I have kind of come to conclude is one of the great things about you is you're a friend of children. And that's something we really appreciate. So welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you, Pastor.
And I know you have great perspective on a lot of things, and I would like for us to talk about this letter that's been bouncing around everywhere from the National School Boards Association. They sent a letter to Joe Biden and asked for his help because they're feeling the threat from parents who are complaining about what's happening to their children. Maybe you'd like to give us a little perspective on that.
Well, I think it's very clear what's going on here. We have extremists that want to indoctrinate children into their extremist ideologies using the taxpayer-funded government schools. And by extremist ideologies, I'm probably being too mild. We're talking about ideologies that have resulted in the deaths of many millions of people around the world. Marxism, critical race theory. I mean, things that everywhere where they have been tried, everywhere where they have been implemented, have always and everywhere produced disaster. And so we have people who want to indoctrinate our children with these ideologies. And naturally, parents are a little bit upset about that. And so they go and they try to make their voices heard. And then we see this outrageous letter. I mean, I think this letter from the National Association of School Boards should tell parents everything they need to know about the direction that this so-called education system is heading. And so they asked the Biden administration to consider this through the lens of domestic terrorism and through the lens of hate crimes. You know, we need to realize the implications of that. Okay, we have a federal government now. I mean, obviously, this is far outside the bounds of the Constitution, but we have a federal government now that literally drops bombs on people who are claimed to be domestic terrorists. They no longer bother with like charging people with a crime. They no longer bother with dragging them before a court and presenting evidence and presuming that the person is innocent before executing a sentence, and you know, we used to have trial by jury and all that stuff. People need to realize that in the 20 years since the September 11th event, we have radically transformed what the federal government does in this arena. And it very much includes, I've got videos of senior, including leaders of the intelligence agencies, including the former head of the CIA and the former head of the NSA, bragging about how they kill people who are suspected terrorists. We had Senator Rand Paul, actually, he had to stand up on the floor of the Senate for hours during the Obama administration to get Attorney General Eric Holder at that time to say he would not drop bombs on Americans on U.S. soil if they were accused of being domestic terrorists. So we need to realize the full implications of having this, these educational bureaucrats asking for the Biden administration to look at Americans who are upset about what's happening to their children as domestic terrorists. And, you know, that would be bad enough. I mean, that would be in your face evidence that the education system, so-called, I think it's better called an indoctrination system or a miseducation system, but that would be evidence enough that parents need to get their children out. But then to have the Biden administration say, yep, we agree, and then we're going to have the FBI mobilize, we're going to have U.S. attorneys mobilize to target parents. And that's exactly what happened. The Department of Justice put out a statement, they put out a press release. Attorney General Merrick Garland put out a statement indicating that, yes, we would get the FBI and other agencies to work now persecuting these parents. We have a serious, serious problem on our hands, Pastor Rick. And, you know, some of us have known this for many years. But I think at this point now they've come out of the closet. They believe that they are untouchable. I think they believe that they are going to be able to intimidate parents with this. And I can tell you, there are parents all across this country that are extremely intimidated by this. Parents who, you know, maybe went and told the school board they were upset about what was happening to the children, maybe said that they were going to consider pulling their kids out, maybe said that it was unacceptable for the government schools to be teaching their children race mongering and Marxism. Now they're worried. Are they going to get a knock at the door from the FBI, like the people who participated in the mostly peaceful protests on January 6th? So we live in a new era in America, and it's all coming together now. The weaponization of the federal government against Americans, the indoctrination of our children in the public schools, and I mean, the connection is very clear. And I'm telling people, and I've been telling people for many years, if we don't deal with this, folks, it's going to be the end of America as we know it. And I think this illustrates that very, very clearly, Pastor.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And the threat to parents who care about their kids is just beyond imagination. I went through this letter, and their repeated use of language like that, threats, attacks, you know, their fear that somebody's going to harm them, their desire for the full weight of the federal government to come against these people, their appeal to law enforcement in local as well as state and federal jurisdictions to come together to help protect them from all of this. It just reads like a manifesto that you can't imagine anybody writing. And they seem to over and over equate people speaking out because they're upset with what's happening to their children, the anger that parents are expressing, the outrage at what they're discovering. And it's as though they don't really, they say they want to hear it, but they don't want to hear it. They want these people to be quiet and go away. Maybe you could speak to this a little bit. I was not stunned because I've seen some of this stuff too, but still a little stunned that they even cite that when parents complain about critical race theory, they say, but it's not true. We aren't doing it. And yet over and over, we find evidence that things like this are happening to our kids. I mean, where does this end?
Yeah, this ends in the same kind of things we saw in communist China, the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, communist Cuba, Pol Pot's Cambodia, North Vietnam. I mean, this ends in absolute disaster. And you're right. I think you brought up a really important point, Pastor, and I should have mentioned it. They actually cite no examples, not one single example. There's no phone call or message or email that they can point to that says we're going to bomb this or we're going to kill that. Nothing even remotely resembling that. And I'm sure the reason why is because there is no such thing, right? No parent ever threatened to murder or bomb a school board. That's what communists do. That's what Marxists do. That's what Nazis do. That's not what concerned parents do. But It wouldn't surprise me if these people were actually scared. It really makes me think of this brilliant line in Proverbs chapter 28, actually verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And so, yeah, these people are paranoid, and they should be paranoid. They're brainwashing people's kids with evil. And so they're on edge. They're thinking, oh my goodness, these parents are going to figure out, and they're going to be really mad, and then they're going to come for it. So they are paranoid. They are absolutely losing sleep over this. But I find it very telling that there's not a single, and you know, if there was an example, it'd be on the front page of every newspaper. It'd be the headline story and all the big fake media, fake news channels. So obviously there's no example of a parent making a threat or of a parent harming anyone or injuring anyone, because if there were, that would have been the front page news, that would have been included in this letter, that would have been mentioned by the Attorney General and by the FBI as they're rolling out this further weaponization of our law enforcement agencies. But it actually goes very well with just last week, they had the Secretary of Education, and I call him the Secretary of Miseducation, Miguel Cardona. He was being grilled in Congress, and a member of Congress asked him, and I actually resent the question. I think the question is preposterous, but he said, do you believe that parents should be the primary stakeholders in the education of their children? And, you know, I about spit my coffee out of my mouth. What do you mean primary? I'm not a stakeholder in the education of my children. I'm the boss of the education of my children. What kind of ludicrous statement is that? That should have been a real softball for the Secretary of Education to say, well, absolutely. You know, I mean, of course, who else would be the primary stakeholder in the education of their children? Yeah, I mean, you'd think that'd be simple, but no. He said, well, you know, I think parents are important stakeholders, but really, I think professional educators. I'm thinking, what in the world? So they're really coming out of the closet here, Pastor Rick. They view parents as an impediment to the brainwashing of their children. They don't even believe parents get to be the primary stakeholders anymore. During the Obama administration, you still have a lot of the same holdovers from the Obama administration are now serving in the Biden regime. They made this very clear. In fact, they put out a policy document. The Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Education collaborated on this, and they said parents could be equal partners in the education of their own children. And if you actually read the text of this document, Pastor, they make it very clear that they don't mean equal partnership in any sense that a normal person would understand equal partnership. They talk about we're going to have mandatory home visits to make sure the parents are doing what we think they ought to do. If they don't, we've got to subject them to mandatory parenting classes. If they still won't, then, you know, we got to escalate the level of intervention. Maybe we'll send the Child Protective Services. So they're very clearly trying to stake new claims here over the minds, over the hearts, over the souls of our children. And, you know, they used to do it. They kind of used to tiptoe around it. You know, Hillary Clinton would write a book and say that the village needs to raise your children. And she'd make the case that you really need professionals and experts to do the bulk of the child raising. But they were never this bold. And the fact that now they're coming out and telling you that you don't even get to be the primary stakeholder, that we're going to investigate you if you get too upset about the garbage we're filling the minds of your children with. I think if parents are not alarmed by this, then I suspect they're not very good parents. That's the only way I can say it kindly. So,
well, I think that that's a good point. And I agree that if there was ever evidence that parents need to be concerned, it's out there right now, because it's an interesting way you say it. They aren't even hiding it anymore. They aren't even trying to sneak around behind our backs and do these things. They're just doing them. What the secretary said about parents and their involvement, just I don't even know how you begin to talk about that, because we have always believed in this country that parents had the responsibility to take care of their kids, and that they should be the primary people that look out for their kids and guide their kids' education, make sure they're healthy and strong and all of the things that we want kids to benefit from. And along come these people who don't even know my child's name, so to speak, and they think they know better what he or she needs. I just don't get that. But related to that, and I know this concerns you, and you probably have some really good helps on this. How do we convince parents that this is a real problem? Because parents seem to look at the schools, and maybe I'm wrong about this, you can correct that as well, but I see a lot of parents seem to look at the schools through rose-colored glasses. You know, I've said to a few people, we all grouse about school when we're going through school and complain about this. We're glad for the time Friday comes and we're off for the weekend. We're glad for summer breaks and all of that. We're glad when we finally get out of school. I'm never coming back here. You know, a lot of us complain like that. But then just a short time later, it seems like people start to have these warm, fuzzy feelings about this school that they said they hated. And I think that continues when they have children and they decide to send their kids to school. Suddenly they see things totally different. How do we get people's attention? Is there anything that you've observed that has helped wake parents up to help them realize that what they think is going on isn't going on and they need to intervene on behalf of their kids? I mean, some are doing that. That's what's going on around the country. But a lot of them, they just seem to have this blind faith that the schools are doing the right thing. You got any tips for them?
Yeah, I think there's several things going on here, Pastor. And one is, as you pointed out, you know, people look back on their childhood years with fondness and they associate that with the school. And they really don't have any other point of reference, right? They think back to school and they think of friends and they think of sports and they think of recess. And they think, well, you know, that was fun. And hey, they taught me some things and, you know, they made me into a more productive citizen. So people look back on that with fondness, but they don't have any point of reference to compare it with, right? I absolutely hated school. I got expelled in 10th grade. I never went back and it was probably served me very well. But your average person looks back and there's also this misconception that the schools of the 1970s, the 1980s, even the 1990s are the same as the schools today. Not even close. Okay. Right. So, and there's one more misconception. And I find that I travel all across the country speaking to parents about education. And one of the things that I find that's so common, especially in more conservative jurisdictions and conservative states and conservative counties, conservative school districts as well, you know, I know the public school system is rotten to the core, but hey, that doesn't happen here, right? Aunt Sally is a teacher here. And I know, you know, Uncle Bob, he even serves on the school board. And you know what? The principal actually goes to our church. So, you know, I know the rest of the schools all over the country are an abomination, but here in our jurisdiction, everything's fine. The reality is that's not the case. And, you know, I think it goes back to something more fundamental that you touched on earlier. You mentioned that, you know, Americans have always understood that parents are primarily in charge of the education and the upbringing of their children. And this is very clearly expressed throughout Scripture, right? From Genesis to Revelations, parents are assigned the primary responsibility over their children. In fact, Caesar is delegated no responsibility over children. And this has been true, not just throughout American history, but throughout human history. The idea that government ought to be in charge of raising children, that's a very radical idea, and it's a very novel idea. And if you look at the governments that pursued this kind of ideology, almost without exception, these are governments that murdered enormous numbers of people, right? It was Adolf Hitler that really pioneered this idea and the Soviet Union. Hitler became the first leader in human history to criminalize homeschooling. He said, nope, parents will not be the primary stakeholders in the raising of their own children. We will be the primary stakeholders and we will teach them what we think they need to know because we're professionals and we're you know, serving the interests of the collective and all the rest of it. And so you see where this leads. It leads to disaster. It leads to atrocity. And I think a lot of parents struggle to make the connection between, well, you know, we know Nazi Germany was bad. We know the Soviet Union was bad. Well, we're not there yet. Yeah, that's true. But we need to recognize that these things didn't happen overnight, right? It wasn't Hitler came to power and right away that, you know, the Jews started going off to the camps. It wasn't that, you know, totalitarian communists came to power and right away the blood started running in the streets. It took Mao many years of doing the equivalent of critical race theory and weaponizing the population against each other before the blood started running in the streets, before people were willing to put bullets in the back of their fellow human beings' heads. But the strategy was exactly the same, right? Chairman Mao insisted that China was divided up into two broad classes. There was the red classes and the black classes. The red classes were the good classes. That was the landless peasants and the workers and so on. The black classes were the bad classes. Those were the businessmen, the landowners, things like that. And so they forced this on little children. And they told them, well, you're part of the black class, you're part of the red class. And it didn't take long before children started turning in their parents to the communist authorities for torture and for murder. And people think that's so far away from where we are in America, but I think you're not getting it if that's your thought. Yeah, we're not under Chairman Mao yet, but this is what leads up to those kinds of atrocities, is the weaponization of the minds of children. And once we have a system that openly regards parents with contempt, that openly tries to indoctrinate our children into ideologies that have produced misery and disaster all over the world, we have a major, major problem on our hands. And so I think parents need to look objectively. Stop believing the members of your school board when they tell you that critical race theory is not being taught in your school. Go get copies of the textbooks. Go talk to your children about what they're learning in the classroom. And what you'll find is that no matter where you live in this country, the sexualization, the indoctrination, the dumbing down is absolutely ubiquitous. I can guarantee it, whether you're in the most rural district in Montana or Nebraska, or whether you're in a big city, the same filth is being pumped into the minds of children. I can guarantee it. I've got the documents. I've got the proof. I've got the people on video. It's not my opinion. It's a fact.
Well, I think that's exactly what parents need to do. They need to step back and listen and pay attention, because there are clear parallels in history to what we're going through and the consequences, the end results. And none of us want to go there. And I sometimes ask the question to myself, and sometimes when I'm talking to my friends, I'll say, I can't understand why Americans have this irrational confidence in government. We just seem to think that the government can do no wrong. And yet we look everywhere and they're doing wrong. And how do we get people to see that? And I think you're right. We've got to engage on that, because once you start, it's a lot harder to unwind it. And yes, I suspect, and maybe you can give us a little insight on this, I suspect that even the teachers that want to do the right thing have been so, influenced by these ideas that they slip in a little bit at a time. And they find themselves saying, well, it's not that bad. It's just one little thing. And the more they say it's not that bad, then the next little thing comes along. And pretty soon they're a part of it without intending to be or wanting to be. Do you think that's happening on the other side of the scale?
Yeah, it's absolutely happening, Rick. There's no question about it. You've got a lot of teachers in the system who unfortunately went through 4 years of so-called college of education at some state university, and they were indoctrinated to look at the world in this way. They were indoctrinated to teach reading this way. You know, they don't realize the harm that they're doing to children, but there is a growing awareness. I just tell you, I've spoken on education, I think, in 47 states now and at least 5 or 6 countries, and everywhere I go, I'm finding a growing number of teachers and administrators and principals who recognize that these types of things are wrong. Actually, a very good friend of mine was a government school teacher teaching history in 7th grade, and he understood that this was extremely evil, what was going on. And he tried to hold out as long as he could, but then the school district mandated a social emotional learning, and they ordered every teacher in their first period to show these videos to the children that were a glorification of homosexuality, glorification of transgenderism and gender confusion and other forms of sexual perversion. And he said, I can't do that. You know, I literally, that is against my conscience. And it goes back to Acts 5:29. At some point you have to say, is it better to obey God or men? And the answer obviously is you got to obey God. And so I encourage teachers, you know, Christian teachers, teachers who want to do the right thing, stay as long as you can. And do your best to get truth to these children. But the reality is, you know, there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to stay there any longer and still be there in good conscience. And I think that's something everybody has to consider. But there is an awakening going on, Rick, and I think we see it in the parents. We see it in the teachers. There are so many teachers that feel intimidated by this. They know it's wrong, but they don't know what to do. They know their paycheck comes from there. Actually, this weekend, I'm going to be going up to Indiana. There's a wonderful teacher up there who had to leave the teaching profession. She was exposing social emotional learning. And she ended up having to leave because she couldn't do this anymore. So she now has created a Purple for Parents. They're going to be having a conference up there. It's a lot of current and former teachers who recognize that this is just abominable. And I encourage parents to talk to some of these teachers. You know, talk to the public school teachers at your church. There's a reason why public school teachers are so much more likely than average Americans to homeschool their children or to put them into private schools. They know that this is wrong. And that's encouraging. I think there is a real awakening. Just over the last couple of years, we've had millions of families flee the government school system. We've seen something like a 300% increase in the number of families that are homeschooling their children. So the momentum now is really on our side. The radical left is freaking out. Just a couple of days ago, Randy Weingarten, the head of the American Federation of Teachers, just publicly spewing all over the place. Oh my goodness, Republicans have changed tactics. They're no longer trying to reform the schools. They're trying to destroy public education and liberate their children. What are we going to do? Oh my goodness. So even the establishment has noticed that the wind is shifting, and that's a good thing. I think all that's encouraging. I think that's one of the reasons why they're bringing out the big guns. They're telling the FBI, now go start terrorizing parents. So
yeah, imagine that people are waking up to what's going on and trying to get their kids away from it. Just imagine that. I mean, I mean, you're right. Over and over, these people who speak out, like Randy Weingarten, we know what they're up to when they say some of these outrageous things. I mean, some of us have known what they're up to for a while. And I think, you know, people need to make the distinction between their friend who is a teacher who's trying to do the right thing, as you described, in the midst of such difficult times, and the teachers' unions who clearly don't care about doing the right thing. And all the evidence that I've seen points to the fact that they're just interested in advancing their agenda and indoctrinating children in all of the things that all the good-hearted people I know are against. And until people make that distinction, I think that they're going to have more and more trouble pushing back against it. We've got to help people do that. Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I think this fight is probably the most critical fight out there when it comes to the political realm and it comes to all the different things people are trying to do to preserve liberty in this country, to preserve the character of the United States, because it's the one thing that transcends all of the other issues. You know, you've got armies of activists fighting to protect unborn babies from being butchered by abortionists. You've got armies of activists fighting for secure borders and for reduced taxation and for Second Amendment rights and for, you know, all these things are important fights. And I agree with these fights, and we should be involved in them. But the reality is, if the government's indoctrination system, masquerading as a school system, succeeds in indoctrinating and weaponizing even 60% of our children, and right now they're doing much better than that. We need to realize we're going to lose every one of those battles. The babies are going to continue to be slaughtered. The gun control is going to become increasingly extreme until they literally start disarming people. The border is going to stay wide open. The government's going to keep growing. They're going to keep inflating the currency until they make us all bankrupt. I mean, that's the direction we're headed in. And the one issue that transcends all the others is the indoctrination of the children. They wouldn't be able to get away with this if we had a well-educated populace that loved the Lord, that loved our Constitution, that loved individual liberty. There's no chance they could get away with this. And if we're going to solve all these problems, the one common denominator, and Dennis Prager said this the other day, the most important thing you can do for your country right now is remove your children from the government school system. And I happen to agree. All these other battles are important, but we're going to lose on every single one unless we deal with this crisis when it comes to the education of our young people.
Well, I think that's a good way to put it. And I don't think people realize the scope of it, but one thing people are starting to realize: when you mess with my kids, I notice. And when people start to do that, that's beginning to pull people together around that. And we need to encourage that. Absolutely. And churches need to wake up to this. I think a lot of churches, we need to talk about that. And we need to take a break in just a minute. When we get back, we need to talk about how the church can support these parents and the education of children. We need to talk about how we can protect our kids from some of these influences, because I don't guess we realize the real scope and the threat that's going on here. And it is serious. And I don't think you can overstate it. Do you?
Nope. In fact, just speaking the truth on this issue is so explosive. The reality of what's going on in the schools, I actually compare it to, you know, fire in the school building, right? Imagine that the public school building is on fire and your kids are trapped inside. You know, what would you do? Well, the idea that we're going to start a petition is preposterous, right? The idea that we're going to run for school board is preposterous. And I'm not against those things, but if your child is in a burning building, you don't worry about petitions and school boards. You run inside and you rescue your children. And then I tell people, you know, a burning building is actually not an adequate metaphor here. It's not an adequate analogy, because with a burning building, your child is going to be hurt physically. And they may even die, but there are things worse than death. And there are things much worse than physical damage. I mean, right now we have the data to prove, we've got the evidence to show that these schools are destroying children, not just physically. And I mean, literally physically. We've got evidence from all over the country. They're taking children for sex changes. They're pumping them full of hormones. They're giving them puberty blockers against their parents' will. They're preparing them to have their bodies mutilated as part of these sex changes. Their brains are getting wired the wrong way. So there's real physical damage that's happening here. But also, I mean, the other even more important types of damage, the more moral damage, the mental damage, the spiritual damage, the intellectual destruction, the academic destruction that's taking place here. And, you know, you can't overstate that. I mean, what could be more horrifying than the systematic destruction of an entire generation? And that's what we're witnessing right now, folks. Donald Trump hit the nail on the head. He said the reason why we've got this mayhem in our streets, the reason why our cities are being burned to the ground, is because our children are being indoctrinated to hate their own countries in our public schools. And it's worse than that. It's not just hate their own country. They're being indoctrinated to hate the church. They're being indoctrinated to hate God. They're being indoctrinated to hate their family. They're being indoctrinated to hate the very body that they were born in. Okay. I mean, how much more grotesque can you get? Parents, you got to wake up.
Absolutely. I think you described it very well. And we need to help people do that. I think the culture is on fire. And when we come back from the break in just a minute, we want to talk about how we might energize the church, because that's one of my concerns, that the church seems to be too silent. And we want to give parents options, because parents say, well, what do I do? And it seems to me it's never been easier than it is today for parents to find opportunities to help their children learn. So we're going to explore that with Alex. He's got some ideas, as you can tell. And we will get into all of that, because we want to give answers, and we'll do that after the break. We'll be right back.
Never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education. Your host, Karen Schoen, is out working to improve education across Florida. And I'm Pastor Rick Stevens. I'm the fill-in host. And we've been talking to Alex Newman about some of the problems and some of the reasons that parents need to wake up. And Alex has been working on this for a long time. And so now we want to get into what can parents do and what can churches do. One of my concerns as a pastor is it seems to me too many churches are sitting on the sidelines, and we need to step up and speak out, because we're in a battle between good and evil. You've heard Alex describe these problems, and I don't know how else you frame it. other than to say it's good versus evil. And we need to step up and overcome evil with good. And we want to talk about the challenges and how we might do that. So welcome back, Alex. Let's start with the church. What do you see going on in the church, and how can we wake the church up and get them to be energized with what's going on?
Well, thank you, Pastor. And I'll start by saying that I'm very encouraged by some of the things that I see happening. For, you know, 50, 60 years now, we've had really silence from the pulpit on all these critical issues. You know, the Bible says to teach and preach the whole counsel of God. That means everything that God has revealed to us from Genesis to Revelation. And this includes practical things, right? God includes a lot in there about education. In fact, God speaks more frequently about government in the Bible than he speaks about heaven, right? And yet pastors have been almost completely silent on the topic of government. Why is this, right? Part of it is that the federal government said, hey, we'll give you a tax exemption, a 501c3, but that means you can't talk about government.
Yeah, that's an empty threat.
It is. It is. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because, you know, there are actually many legal groups right now just begging the IRS to come in and try to revoke someone's tax exemption because they want to get a lawsuit going about this. And that's good. But, you know, I think it's critical that pastors go and read what the Bible says, and then they teach that to people. And this applies in every sphere of life, right? Like pastors have been given really a divine commission by God. Their job, and this is true for rabbis and for people who are really supposed to be shepherds of God's people, their job is to teach them and to equip them and to give them what they need to be able to do the things that they're called to do. And that includes, for example, how should our families operate? That includes how should our government operate? How should our society operate? How should the church operate? And for just decades and decades, it's been a very small minority of pastors that have been willing to speak and teach on these things. But I think something is changing. Actually, you and I met most recently, Pastor, at the Liberty Pastor Summit. Right. And I think was it the one in Florida that we met at? I think it was.
Yes. Yeah. In Orlando. Yes.
That's right. So we had, 200 and something pastors and, you know, hundreds of wives of pastors there. And you know, it was 3-4 days of information on what does the Bible teach about government? What does the Bible teach about education? What does it teach about family? What does it teach about, you know, globalism? That's what I was teaching on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm really encouraged to see these kinds of things happening. I'm encouraged to see pastors more and more realizing that the time to speak out is now. So that's good. We need a whole lot more of that. And I think if one positive thing is going to come out of this COVID madness, is that a lot of pastors are starting to get a backbone. You know, I've seen some of John MacArthur's sermons over the last few months that he's just been hitting it out of the park after decades of saying, you know, you just have to submit to the government always in all cases and don't get involved in politics. And, you know, he's really changed his tune now. And there's, you know, tens of thousands of pastors across America that look to him for guidance. So for him to say that, you know, the Bible teaches that the government should protect good and punish evil, and now we're in a situation where the government is punishing good and protecting evil, you know, in that case, the government loses its legitimacy. I mean, these are revolutionary statements coming from one of the most influential pastors in America, or Pastor Vody Bauhum now, telling parents that they're sinning by sending their children to public school. These are very, very significant developments. And I go back, and you certainly remember this from the Liberty Pastors Conference. I go back to the founding era and listen to the sermons or read the sermons that were taught back then. In fact, I teach history 4th through 6th graders at our homeschool co-op. And one of the things we do is study the sermons from the founding era that our founding fathers sat through, that our legislators during that era sat through. And you see just this total difference between what was taught back then and what's taught today. And I think we need a real return to the kind of preaching that we had. And I'm encouraged, Pastor, that we're moving in that direction.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because obviously I don't get out like you do, because I'm at my church on Sundays, so I don't get exposed to those things, but I'm really glad to hear that. And I think you're right. The Liberty Pastors Conference you mentioned, there were a whole lot of people in that room really fired up when they began to hear what's going on and realize that there were specific things they could do as a pastor to teach people the truth and to, well, how would you say, help them understand the times, because we have to understand the times we live in. So given that the church is beginning to wake up and that we're encouraged by that, what helps do you have? How would you help someone who's a parent who is hearing that the school's on fire and they want to rescue their child. And I think rescuing is exactly the right way to describe it. What steps would you encourage them to take? How can they find the resources they need to begin to pursue a homeschooling option? Or there are a number of options, but where do you tell people to start?
Well, it actually all intersects in the work that we're doing. We started a ministry a few years ago called Public School Exit. And one of the primary initiatives that we're working on right now is reaching out to pastors to try to help them. So as we see it, you know, the Bible is very clear on education. It's not a responsibility of Caesar. It's a responsibility of parents. And pastors and churches can play a major role in equipping the saints to carry out that sacred duty. You know, we're told that even in the Great Commission, right, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, are we really going to keep sending missionaries overseas while we're losing 80 to 90% of our children? And I'm totally in favor of sending missionaries overseas. In fact, that's one of the things that the church is called to do. But how can we justify doing that when we're losing 80 to 90% of our children? So we are working with pastors now all across the country. We've been having pastor summits, pastor luncheons, breakfasts, dinners. In Illinois, in California. Just yesterday, we met with some very, very influential pastors in California. In fact, we've got a number of incredible pastors on our advisory board. Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, he's got 15,000 people in his congregation, is on our advisory board. We've got Pastor Carl Brogy in South Carolina. He's got thousands of members at his church, also on our advisory board. We've got Bishop Art Hodges, who oversees huge number of churches across America. All of these people on our board telling their congregations and telling the church and the American people, guys, you got to get your children out. So what we're doing at Public School Exit, as far as pastors are concerned, is we're reaching out to pastors and we're trying to encourage them to do a few things. First of all, get up to speed on what God's word teaches about education. And, you know, that's a huge topic. I mean, entire books can and have been written about that. But I would start at the most basic level. First of all, who is in charge of education? And we've gone over that. That's parents. What does an education look like? Well, that's a question that God's word answers as well. Now, you know, he doesn't lay out, well, you need 18 hours of science per week and you need 32 hours of math this semester. I mean, you know, it doesn't get into that kind of granular detail, but we do have some of the basics, some of the fundamentals. So you go to Proverbs 9:10, for example, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or you go to Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So right there, God has laid out the most foundational element of a proper education. It's fear of the Lord. In fact, God, our Lord gave us a very simple litmus test by which we can look at all human institutions. Either you're with me or you're against me. There's just two options. It's that simple. And I always say in my talks, you know, anybody want to come up here and argue that the public schools are with God? And the answer is always, you know, that's ridiculous. We all know that's ridiculous. So very simple, guys. God lays out what an education should look like. So we think pastors need to know what God's word says. We think pastors need to know what's going on in the public schools. And then they need to inform their congregations about this. And then they need to help prepare lifeboats. So one of the major initiatives that we're doing is now we're working with churches all across the country to set up lifeboats. And this looks a little bit different in, you know, every church is different. Every church has different means, different sizes. And so we've got this incredible team of experts that we are now deploying to churches all around the country. Oftentimes virtually, you know, nowadays you sometimes don't even have to actually go there. You can just meet by Zoom or whatever. And we can help set up a homeschool co-op. We can help set up a scholarship for low-income people. We can help you build a Christian school in your church. We can help you set up a hybrid. We call it the Independent Learning Academy, where it's actually revenue positive for the church. We can set up an online school, right? One of the programs that you guys work with at the Florida Citizens Alliance through your Liberty Scholars program is the Freedom Project Academy. We've got Duke Pest on our board, and we'll be more than happy to help set up the online Freedom Project school within a church if that's what the church wants to do. So we've got about 8 or 9 options. One of our advisory board members is the head of the Aletheia Christian College, and her specialty is training up teachers to run one-room schoolhouses. So even a small church, right? You can get one of your people trained to run a one-room schoolhouse. And the education that'll come out of that will be light years ahead of anything that the government is offering. So we're trying to equip the churches to equip the church to be able to deal with this crisis. And of course, we're working with parents as well, but that's a kind of a brief overview, and people can find more at publicschoolexit.com if they're interested.
Well, those are very intriguing ideas. And am I overstating this? I've said this to people, so I guess I need to find out from your perspective whether I'm right. It really does seem to me that these days the resources, the support for parents makes getting out of the public schools easier than it's ever been. I mean, I remember thinking years ago when people started talking about homeschooling, and I thought, wow, that's going to be a really heavy lift for people because of the time involved and the energy and parents having to learn this or learn that, not feeling equipped to teach this science or that math. But it seems to me at this point in time, there are so many helps for parents that this is the ideal time to take that step and to help your kids have a better education.
There's no question about it, Pastor. And, you know, our ancestors, our goat herding ancestors 3,000 or 4,000 years ago were homeschooling their children. I mean, so yeah, homeschooling is nothing new. But we live in an era now where there are more resources, where there are more tools, more curriculum options, more support groups, more co-ops, more church assistance than at any time in human history. People say, well, I can't afford it. Look, folks, we live in the richest society in the history of mankind, okay? If our goat herding ancestors 3,000 or 4,000 years ago could afford to educate their own children, then we can certainly afford it too. And I tell people only half kidding, you know, I'd sooner live in a cardboard box than send my children to a government school. And I'm not kidding, I would. But we really do live in a time where it has never been easier to homeschool your children. All 50 states right now, it's completely legal, almost effortless to homeschool your children as far as the law is concerned. Right here in Florida, you just send a letter to the superintendent. It's not like a permission request. It's just, hey, I'm going to homeschool my children. Okay. And then, you know, once a year, you got to talk to a licensed teacher just so I can see that the kids actually learned something. So very, very simple to homeschool in this country, very simple to homeschool in any one of the 50 states. There are some that have more regulation than others. There are now scholarship programs. There are homeschool co-ops to take some of the burden off you, get your grant, you know, get the grandparents involved. It's so easy to do it right now. And as a homeschooling father of five, I tell you, it's the second best decision that my wife and I ever made. You know, I can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah, I think you're telling us what we need to hear. And I think people just need to realize, and you said it very clearly, they don't need someone's permission to do this. They just need to take responsibility for their kids. So we're so used to expecting the school to give us permission somehow to do this or do that. We got to get over that. I mean, they're your kids and you just got to look out for them. And the other thing you said that really got my attention, I don't think people realize this, and maybe this is something that will help some people as they think about it. You said that we can give them at our homeschool or school co-op or whatever form it takes, a better education than the government schools can even begin to give them. I don't think people realize that they can do better than what they're getting at their kids at school.
Yeah. And there's no question about it. At this point, the data is absolutely irrefutable. You can look at the data that's been collected now for decades. You can go, for example, to the National Home Education Research Institute. That's NHERI.org, where they collect all the studies and data that's come out about homeschooling and how it compares with government schools. It is, I mean, a difference between night and day. Homeschoolers on average are now coming in the 90th percentile on the government's own academic test, right?
Isn't that terrific?
Can you imagine? The government schools are spending, you know, $15,000 a year. They've got these poor kids for 13 years. They've got them for 5 days a week. They've got them for 7-8 hours a day. Homeschoolers typically don't even think about these silly academic tests, and yet they're still running circles around the victims of government schools on the government's own test. And, you know, you always get that question. It's like we're trained like Pavlov's dogs to say, you know, we start drooling. Well, what about socialization? Well, I'm glad you asked. We've got lots of data on that as well. And it turns out that homeschoolers are better socialized on every single metric that we can track. So they communicate better with people of all ages. They're less likely to take drugs. They're more outgoing. They're more likely to be civically involved and get involved in politics. They're more entrepreneurial. I mean, every metric that you can track, homeschoolers do significantly better. You know, it's a myth that homeschoolers are not socialized. I've never met a homeschooler that doesn't get their kids involved in sports and extracurricular activities and co-ops, and they go on field trips. So, you know, it's just a total myth perpetuated by proponents of government indoctrination of children. but I mean, the data now is very clear. And I should mention as well, Pastor, this applies even if the parents don't have a high school diploma. Their kids still end up in the 90th percentile. Their kids still run circles around the victims of government schools. And, you know, it's hard to do worse than the government schools. And I tell people and they think I'm kidding and I'm not. You know, when you look at the history of government schools, and I wrote an entire book on this with my friend and colleague, Dr. Sam Blumenfeld. When you look at the history and you realize that the people who created this system did it with certain goals in mind, and we're now seeing the fruit of that. In fact, people think the schools are broken. No, they're working perfectly. So when you realize that the schools were designed to destroy your kids, you think, how could I do worse than that? Right? I mean, even if I, as long as I don't deliberately try to destroy the kids, I'm going to be doing better than the government school system. So you can do it, folks. Nobody loves your kids more than you do. Nobody loves your grandkids more than your children. And so, I mean, you can do it. Don't believe people that say that you're not qualified to raise your own children. It's absolutely ludicrous on its face.
Absolutely. You're so right. And I don't think people realize, and you probably have seen this too, but when you step out to do something like this and rally to help your kids, other people will come along to help you with that. It's amazing how people do that. I mean, we do that in the normal flow of life when a kid needs something. I mean, we help each other with that. And I think probably more resources would come to support parents than they have any idea that would be available, because people recognize that the kids matter and they want to help kids. I mean, the Bible tells us that the kids are a gift from God and we need to value them. And there are lots of people that value children. I'm absolutely convinced of that. We just need to take courage and give it a try. Don't be afraid. You know, it'll be a little risky at first. It'll feel a little unusual, but hey, you can do it. And you're going to be, as a homeschooling parent, involved in some of the innovation that I think is beginning to happen in education. You've mentioned some of the ideas, but I suspect, and maybe you can help us look a little bit into the future, I suspect there are more innovations that are possible in education if we could just kind of help everybody think outside this box of public education. It's not one size fits all. We have got kids that are all kinds of different, but they're smart. They want to learn. They're energetic. We just need to find the innovative ways that help our children learn and thrive and benefit. Do you see innovation coming? Do you have some hopes along that line?
There is a lot of innovation. And one of the things that I think is most phenomenal about this rebirth and this renaissance in parents taking charge of the education of their children is actually a restoration of the old systems that worked, right? You know, I've studied very, very extensively education and the history of education in the United States. And obviously, I'm not the first one to do that, but there were two ladies back in the 1940s, 1950s. They were actually teachers, and they were very concerned about the decline in education. So they actually set out to do a really in-depth study. You know, what did the education of the founding fathers look like? You know, how were people educated back then? And so they studied this and they came up with what they call the principal approach. It's just mind-blowing. The methods, the pedagogy, the ways of learning that have been lost through this institutionalized government indoctrination system. And so, yes, there is a lot of innovation and there's a lot of wonderful things happening with technology, with new methodologies. But also one of the things that I think is most exciting is going back to the old ways, the forms and the methods and the pedagogies and the content that produced people like our founding generation in this country, who created the greatest, freest, most prosperous nation in the history of mankind. You know, what did they learn that made them so special, that made them so smart, that gave them such an in-depth understanding of human nature and of political science and of the history of government? And so I'm just thrilled by what's going on. There are now millions of children across America who are getting an education that is just absolutely amazing in compared with anything that we've seen over the last century or so. And I can't tell you how exciting this is. I think the reverberations of this, the positive fruit that's going to come from this is going to bless humanity for generations to come. And you know, it's exciting. Pastor, it's a wonderful time to be alive. It's an incredible time to be alive. And I think one of the brightest spots on the horizon. And I know it's easy to get depressed. I know it's easy to look around and be fearful and think, oh my goodness, our society is imploding. Yeah, that's true. It's all true. But this huge bright spot out there is these millions of families that are making the sacrifice to ensure that their children get a godly, proper education. This is going to be amazing in the future. And so we can be, I think, very excited about that, very optimistic about that. And honestly, you know, it sounds crass, but these kids that are getting this kind of education, they're going to run circles. I mean, I'd say, you know, one of these well-educated homeschool kids, you could tie both their hands behind their back and cover up their eyes, and they'd still be able to take on 100 victims of government school, no problem. So I'm really encouraged by that. Yes, we'll be outnumbered numerically when it comes to voting and things like that, but the children that are getting a good education right now are going to be so phenomenally educated. It's not even going to be a competition. So that's exciting. And we need to pray. We need to keep working. But this is an incredible time to be alive, Pastor.
It's almost like we spend our time trying to persuade people that this is a good idea and they should try it. And now, listening to you, it's almost like we need to say, hey, your kids don't want to miss out on this. This is so exciting. That's you right. need to embrace this and go for it, because you're going to be so glad you did. And I think you're right. I think parents would be really glad. So, we're getting close to the end of our time. And I do want to make sure that people know how to connect with you and read your writings. And maybe you referred to one of your books. Maybe they'd like to buy a book. Maybe there's a website or two you'd like to suggest. I know it's always hard to brag on ourselves, and I'm not trying to put you in that corner, but maybe you could tell people a little bit where to find more information on the things you're talking about that you've been involved in.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Pastor. And I do want to say one more thing before I do that. You know, one of the members of our advisory board at Public School Exit, he has been studying the worldview of children in Christian children in churches and Christian schools for decades now. And what he has found is that the overwhelming supermajority of Christian children from good Christian homes with two married Christian parents, and the same applies to, you know, Jews and everybody, Catholics, Protestants, doesn't matter, we're losing 80 to 90% of them who go through the public school system. So, you know, pastors, parents, you know, if you want your children to grow up in the faith, if you want your church to continue, you've got to take this seriously. You know, and I think that's the most important thing. Yeah, homeschool children and children going to good private schools are doing way better academically and socially and all these other things. But, you know, I think for most parents who love the Lord, the most important thing for them is to have children that are going to be walking with the Lord in the future. And folks, you're playing Russian roulette if you're sending your kids to government school, except it's not like traditional Russian roulette where you just have one round and six chambers. Now you're talking five of the chambers out of the six have bullets in them, and you don't want to play that game. So take it seriously, folks. And Pastor, thank you for the opportunity. I will say, I do a lot of things. I wear so many hats, it looks really ridiculous. I don't wear any of them well, but I'm the executive director at Public School Exit. You can find us at publicschoolexit.com. I'm the senior editor of the New American Magazine, where we've really focused extensively on education, especially in recent years, but literally back in 1985, when the magazine was created as a merger of two other magazines, we were arguing for the separation of school and state. So we've been on this mission for a long time. That's thenewamerican.com. And we also have a print magazine. I am a columnist and a regular writer for the Epic Times. You can find us at theepictimes.com. And I've actually done a very extensive and in-depth series on the history of education in America, all the way up to the present, that you can find there. It's at theepictimes.com. We're hoping to publish that as a book very soon. I do have a book that I've done on education. I co-wrote this with Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, one of the founding fathers of the homeschool movement. Spent 60 years of his life trying to save as many children as possible from illiteracy and dyslexia. You can find that at my website. My personal website is Liberty Sentinel. That's S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L, libertysentinel.org. And then if you want to order the books, you can go to /donate or /shop. And you do have instructions there to get a copy of that. It's Crimes of the Educators. You can get it on audiobook as well if you don't really read. And I've got a DVD there on a talk that I've done on education. So lots of resources out there. That's a very brief overview of the things that I do. I'm also a teacher at Freedom Project Academy. And, you know, I could go on with the different things that I do. Again, none of them very well. But thank you so much for having me on the program, Pastor, and for the opportunity to share this information with people. So
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Karen will be back next week. We wish her well, and I know you'll be glad to have her back. I'm Pastor Rick Stevens, and I want to encourage you, find a way to rescue your children. It'll make all the difference to you and to them. Watch for Karen next week, and we'll talk again. Bye. But,